tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Welcome to An Hour of Horror. Later on, Arch Obler's Lights Out series entertains, but right now, an early broadcast from the series, The Sealed Book. This heard on March 25th, 1945 on the Mutual Broadcasting System, the story, The King of the World.
The Sealed Book.
Once again, the keeper of the book is ready to open the ponderous volume in which is recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind through the ages. All the strange and mystifying stories of the past, present, and the future. Keeper of the book, what tale will you tell us this time?
What tale shall I tell you? I have here tales of every kind. Tales of murder, of madness, of dark deeds and events strange beyond all belief. let me see. Yes. Here's a tale for you. A tale of a man who stole by force the secret of immortality, of life everlasting, and entered into a mad adventure. The title of the tale is King of the World. Here is the tale as it is written in the sealed book. It is late at night, and the wind howls over the desolate countryside. In the darkness, a man runs frantically through the woods, trying to elude his pursuers.
I've got to shake him, or it'll mean a 10-year stretch.
Stop, or we'll shoot!
That's twice they got me in the same arm. Oh, there's a house with a light in it. My only chance. If I stick to these trees, they won't be able to see me. Almost there. Here's a door. It's only unlocked. Oh, it is.
Good evening.
Now listen. Now listen close. A couple of guards from the Horton estate are after me. I'll be behind this door covering you with a rod, so you haven't seen me. You understand?
I understand.
That must be them. Remember, any tricks, and I'll start blasting.
I have no intention of being foolish.
Okay, go ahead then. Open the door.
Yes? What is it?
There's been an attempted theft of the Horton diamond, sir. We chased the crook this way. Have you seen anything of him?
Why, no. There hasn't been anyone here tonight.
We'll keep on going. Good night.
They're gone now.
You did all right.
I'm glad you're satisfied.
Hey, what kind of a place is this? All those machines, bottles and things.
This is my laboratory.
What are you, a professor?
Yes, you might.
Hey, what's that?
Why, your nerves are on edge. It's only my Great Dane, Caesar. Come in, Caesar. We have a visitor.
Hey, what's he growl at me for?
I'm sorry. He always growls at strangers.
Don't like him coming towards me that way. Keep him away, will you?
Come here, Caesar.
He won't listen to you. He's going to spring. Well, this'll stop him. Get him off my arm. Take him away, will you?
Here, Caesar. Here, stop it, I say. Stop it. That's better. I think I'd better put the chain on you, Caesar. Did he hurt you?
Look, I put 3 slugs into that dog. Why isn't he dead? He isn't even wounded.
You must have missed.
You say I missed? I won't miss him this time. I suppose I missed him that time, huh? Why isn't he dead?
Well, the truth is, in this laboratory, I've created a serum that has the power to defeat death. I call it Serum L. L for life.
You mean the stuff protects you from a bullet or a knife wound?
In a way, yes. Swifter than the eye can see, it heals all wounds. The damage is repaired in a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
My serum is what protected Caesar.
A shot of that stuff and you can't be killed. It sounds screwy, but that dog, 4 slugs and not a mark on him. Look, Professor, I'm going to make a deal with you.
A deal?
Yeah. I'll let you keep on living if you'll give me a shot of that serum.
But that's impossible. It hasn't been perfected.
What do you mean it hasn't been perfected? It saved the dog, didn't it?
Yes, of course, but I'm still in the experimental stage. I don't know how long the serum is effective or the condition in which it leaves the body after it is worn off.
You're wasting time, Professor. I'd hate to have to persuade you.
I see. You understand the responsibility is all yours.
That's all right, Professor. You let me do the worrying. Now, come on, let's have a shot of that stuff.
Very well. You'll roll up your sleeve.
Sure. And don't try pulling a fast one, Professor. It won't be healthy.
May I ask why you're so anxious to have my serum?
Any guy in my racket who can take a slug and not feel it would be top man.
I see. Just hold still a moment.
All right, go ahead.
That's all.
Hey, my wounds. They're gone. Why, there isn't even a mark on my arm to show where they were.
I told you it healed faster than the eye could see.
Yeah. It's like a miracle. Think of it. I can't be killed. Nothing can stop me now. I can move in on all the rackets and take them all over. Yes, sir, I'll be king of the world.
What do you want to see me about? I'm kind of busy.
I won't take up much of your time. I'm after a job.
Well, I'd like to give you one, but I haven't room for another man.
You're wrong. There's one job in your racket that's going to be open soon. Yours.
Mine?
Yeah.
Duke, you've got a funny sense of humor.
Yeah, I know. But this is one time I'm not kidding.
You better be kidding, or it might not be healthy for you.
I don't have to worry about my health anymore.
You better go while the going's good.
I like it here. You're the one who's leaving. Right now.
You haven't got a gun, Duke. The boy saw to that. And I have.
You're a little nervous, ain't you, Williams?
Stay where you are. I'll let you have it.
I don't scare easily. Not anymore.
You asked for it. Couldn't have missed. I won't this time.
Don't seem to be able to stop me, Williams.
I shot you. I tell you, I shot you. Why did you fall?
Oh. Oh, it can't be. I put 6 bullets into you. Why did you fall? Your gun is empty now, Williams. It's just you and me.
No, Duke, don't. I'll do anything you say. Stay away, please. I'm dead.
Too bad, Williams. You should have resigned when I gave you the chance. But you would be stubborn. That's what they'll all get if they stand in my way. Hello, Mike. Come on in. I'm just totaling up the take for last month. Going to be quite a haul.
Duke, you're headed for trouble. You've been expanding too fast, stepping on too many people's toes.
They don't want to get stepped on. They better stay out of my road. They've tried to bump me off a half a dozen times in the past month, and I'm still alive.
Duke, what is it that keeps you up even after they put a dozen slugs into you?
Your job is to carry out my orders, not to ask questions.
Oh, I didn't mean anything by it.
I hope you didn't. Now, look, I want you to pick up a fast car. We're going after the Horton Diamond tonight.
The Horton Diamond?
Yeah.
Ah, Duke, that's suicide. We're cleaning up right here. Why risk our necks on a dangerous job?
Because I want the Horton Stone. The way I got it figured, we can't miss. Remember, their guns can't stop me. Hey, is 70 the best you can get out of this car?
I got my foot down to the floor now.
Hey, look at that diamond, Mike. Isn't that a beauty? Think of it. I got $500,000 right in my hand.
Yeah, a lot of good it's going to do us if we don't shake that police car.
Yeah, you're right. They're hanging on. We got to shake them.
There's nothing more I can do. I'm pushing this crate as fast as it'll go.
All right, look out for this curve. We're taking it too fast.
Hey, I can't control
look
it.
Look out. We're going over it.
That car, will you? They must have been doing all of 70 when they crashed.
Yeah. They'll sure have a hard time identifying this guy behind the wheel. What a mess.
What about the other guy?
Let's have a look. Say, there isn't a mark on him. He's unconscious, but he doesn't appear to be hurt at all.
But he must be after a crash like this.
Take a look for yourself. I tell you, this guy is going to live.
A lot of good it'll do him. After killing two guards of the Horton estate, he'd headed for the electric chair.
And now, to go on with the story of the King of the World, as it is written here in the sealed book. Duke Farson, having been duly tried and sentenced for the murders he committed, is being strapped into the electric chair.
Warden, you're wasting your time. This isn't the last mile from me. I'm one guy you can't fry.
All right, Richards, we can proceed now. Will you examine the body, Doctor?
Sorry to disappoint you, Warden, but I'm not dead.
But you must be. No man has ever lived through it.
I'm not like other men, Warden. You can't kill me.
Richards, unstrap the prisoner from the chair. What's happened must be due to a mechanical defect. That must be it.
You look a little pale, Warden. It's good to get out of that chair. It's not very comfortable. But why are you all backing away from me? You afraid I'll hurt you? I'll just take this gun. That's better now. All right, Warden. Start marching. You're going to lead me to freedom if you want to live. Duke.
Let me in, Joe. Quick. That's better. Hey, you look as though you'd seen a ghost, Joe.
The papers are full of stories about your escape. They say the juice was turned on, and yet when it was over, you got up and walked away.
Yeah, that's right. I told them I was one guy too big to be killed.
Look, Duke, I can't afford any trouble with the cops. You know I'm a three-time loser.
Shut up. I'm still giving orders. You'll do as I say. The cops can only send you up for life. I can do worse.
Don't talk like that. Duke, you know you can count on me. I'll do anything you say.
You'd better. I'm going to hole up here for a couple of weeks until the heat's off. Meanwhile, I'm going to make plans, big plans. I'm bigger than just being the king of the underworld. If I organize things right, there's no reason I can't use the underworld to take over the rest of the world. Yeah, that would make me king of the world. Wouldn't be hard to either. Why is that clock so loud? I can't even hear myself talk.
What clock? There isn't any in this apartment.
Are you deaf? Can't you hear it?
No, Duke, honest. I don't hear a thing. You must be imagining things.
I don't know. I don't hear it so loud now either. Yeah, I guess maybe it was my imagination. Yet I could have sworn. Well, never mind. I got other things to think of. Big things.
Why don't you sit down, Duke, and take it easy?
I'm tired of sitting. 3 weeks in this rat trap is enough for anyone. I've had about enough.
The heat's on as big as ever, Duke. I never saw them as anxious to get anyone. Every time I go out, I expect some dick to trail me back to this hideout.
Suppose you let me do the worrying,
sure,
huh?
Sure. I was only talking. Have you been having any more of those attacks lately?
I'm okay. Stop talking about it. It's bad enough without having to be reminded about it. I don't want to hear... Hey, what's that?
What, Duke?
That buzzing sound. Keeps growing louder and louder.
I don't hear nothing.
Listen, you must hear it. It's a fly. Yeah, and it's getting louder. I tell you, I can't stand it.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't hear it. Wait, there's one over there flying around us crank.
Well, do something, will you? I can't stand the noise. It's driving me crazy.
Take it easy, Duke. I'm doing my best to kill it.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It's gone now. For a while, I thought I'd blow my top.
Maybe you'd better see a doctor, Duke. You've been getting these attacks more and more these past 3 weeks.
No doctor can do me any good. There's only one man that can help me.
Who's that?
That's the professor.
Remember me, don't you, Professor?
Yes, of course. I've been reading quite a bit about you in the papers lately, Mr. Farson.
Your serum was all right, Professor. It saved me from being electrocuted, but I don't know, these last 3 weeks, something's happened, and I don't like it.
Suppose you tell me about it.
I keep getting attacks. Maybe I'm listening to the radio. Everything's fine. Then all of a sudden, it grows louder, as though someone was turning it on full blast.
Mm-hmm.
It pounds on my head until I think I'm going crazy. Professor, I can't stand it. You gotta help me.
You recall that when you asked for my serum, I told you it hadn't been perfected?
Well?
That I didn't know what effect it would have on the human body?
Yeah, I know, but you gotta help me now. I can't go on this way. I keep waiting for the next attack. Each one is worse than the last.
You remember my great Dane Caesar, don't you?
Yeah, sure. Tried to take a piece out of my throat, didn't he?
I'll open this trap door. You can see him in the cellar.
Huh?
Yeah, there he is, Mr. Farson.
Well, what's wrong with him? Why does he keep whining like that?
Caesar, too, received an injection of the serum, Mr. Farson, 6 months before you received yours.
Yeah?
Now, every sound he hears is 100-fold greater. I'm speaking to you in normal tone of voice. Yet to Caesar, I'm shouting unbearably loud.
You mean that...
Caesar has passed into a condition where every sound is sheer torment. To be quite frank, he went insane 3 months ago.
Oh. Well, why don't you kill him? Put him out of his misery.
You forget, Mr. Farson, that the serum still protects him from death. He can't die.
And is that what'll happen to me in a few months?
Yes. I'm sorry to say.
But, Professor, there must be something you can do. Maybe you got another serum, huh? Anything. I've got money.
I'm sorry, but it isn't a question of money. I can offer you no help.
I can't go on this way, waiting for each new attack. And then in the end, if only there was an end, if only I could die.
Possibly there is a way out.
There is? Tell me. I'll do anything.
Well, as you know, my serum can prevent death from a dozen bullet wounds. But there might be one way its great healing powers could be defeated.
Yeah, which way is that?
If you were to use an explosive, a powerful explosive, you might blow yourself up into so many pieces that the serum would no longer be able to defeat death.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. One of the mob once had an accident with Nitro. They never found a trace of him. Yeah. Yeah, Nitro. That would do the trick.
Yes, quite possibly. If the attacks continue and they're beyond endurance, it may be your one way of escape.
My one way of escape? Once I thought that with your serum, I'd come to rule the world. Now I'm looking for a way out of it.
You, Duke.
Yeah. You expecting someone else?
No, of course not.
What are you so jittery about?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm okay. What the guy you went to see say?
He can't help me. No one can.
What are you going to do, Duke?
There's nothing I can do but wait. Maybe he was wrong. Maybe I won't get them attacks anymore. After all, just because it happened to the dog doesn't mean that... Hey, what's that? That steady pounding. It's growing louder and louder.
Must be another attack.
I can't stand it. It keeps pounding, louder and louder.
Maybe it's the faucet in the kitchen. It's been leaking lately. I'll have a look at it.
I can't go on this way, I tell you, I can't. It's gone now, but there'll be another attack. And then another.
The faucet was leaking. I just turned it off.
Was that what was troubling you, Duke?
Yeah. It's no use. I can't go on this way, waiting for it to happen all the time. And then ending up like that dog.
What dog?
Never mind. Get out the car. We're going on a little trip.
Trip?
Yeah.
Where to, Duke?
Upstate to the old hideout. I'm going to try to take the one way out.
Won't you tell me what we come to this old place for?
You'll see. Come on. What are you looking around for?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Have you got the shovel?
Yeah. Won't you at least tell me what we need the shovel for?
You're going to do some digging for me in the cellar.
There's something buried in the cellar?
Yeah, Nitro. All right, here's the cellar door.
Nitro? You mean that's what's buried down there?
Yeah. We stored it here for safe-cracking jobs. Now I got a better use for it.
You aren't going to get me to dig it up. It'd be suicide.
You saved this gun, don't you, Joe? You haven't much choice. Now start down those steps.
But I can't see. It's pitch dark down here.
That's okay. Just feel your way down the steps. We get to the bottom, I'll light a candle.
Dude, please don't make me.
Keep going.
Dude, that was the bottom step. What about lighting a match?
Okay, just a second. I've got one here.
Hey, Mary Ross, I got his gun.
I got him.
Let go of me. I got to reach that nitro. Let go.
Get him, coppers. Get him or he'll blow us all
out. You rat. You squealed on me.
Hold that light on him, Jordan. All right, slip the cuffs on him.
I got him.
You've got to let me get to the nitro. It's the only way I can die.
He's as crazy as a loon.
Yeah, a place for this guy's in a padded cell.
Farson, in you go.
All right.
There. You won't be able to hurt yourself in that nice padded cell. And you won't be able to hear any of those loud noises again,
no,
either.
No, no noises.
There aren't any radios or watches or automobile horns that can bother you in that cell. It's guaranteed 100% soundproof. Now, be a good boy.
Oh, you gotta let me go. I want to die, do you hear?
You can't let me live and suffer these attacks. Let me out of here. Let me out, do you hear? I can't stand. Oh, it's starting again. Another attack. It's growing louder and louder. A steady pounding. Oh, it's my heart beating. Growing louder and louder. I can't stop it. I can't stop it. I can't stop it.
That is the story of the king of the world, as it is written in the sealed book. Years have passed, but Duke Ferguson is still locked up in the padded cell. Day and night he begs to be executed, and yet at the same moment he knows he can't die, that the serum in his blood has given him immortality and sentenced him to a life filled with torturous sounds from which there is no escape. There is no escape. It is so written here in the sealed book. But the sound of the great gong tells me I must close the great book once again.
One moment, keeper of the book. What story from the sealed book will you tell us next time?
Next time? What shall it be? A tale of madness? Of terror? Of dark deeds in far lands, for I have them here, all the stories that ever happened, and many that have yet to come to pass. But I'll find one for you in just a moment.
And now, keeper of the book, have you found the story you'll tell next time?
Yes, yes, I found one. It's a story about a ruthless man who put money above all and wouldn't stop at murder to achieve his ends. The title of the tale is Death Spins a Web.
Be sure to be with us again next time. And the great gong heralds another strange and exciting story from...
The Sealed Book.
The Sealed Book, written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, is produced and directed by Jock McGregor.
The Sealed Book, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 25th, 1945, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. The story written by two people who were integral with the Mysterious Traveler series, Robert A. Arthur and David Cogan. You are listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for the Lights Out series. At the time of this next broadcast, it was running second in terms of scary shows on the radio to Inner Sanctum Mysteries, attracting nearly 13 million people a week, Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock on CBS. Next, the grisly tale of State Executioner, heard on August 17, 1943.
Later, that. Let's go back tonight to another time, the time of King George III of England. But our story tonight is not of monarchy. It's the story of an ordinary man by the name of Samuel Jones, who had the extraordinary profession of state executioner.
Tonight's Lights Out presents another psychological drama, a play in which the principal part is taken not by the character himself, but by his thoughts. The voice you are about to hear is that of the thoughts of one Samuel Jones, the state executioner for His Majesty George III. He sits alone in a dismal room, and these are his thoughts.
I want to be dead, dead, dead. Do you feel anything when you're dead? Are you hungry? Are you cold? Are you tired when you're dead? No. When I'm dead, I'll have peace, peace. I've got to have peace. Kill myself. Yes. Bullet in my heart. The pain. I don't like pain, but it can't hurt. They say it doesn't hurt, only hanging hurts. I know it does. I've seen their faces when they cut them down, purple, black. I've seen their faces when the masks came off and there's pain in them, pain that twists their faces, grinds their teeth, and gives them living hell until at last they die. That's why I've got to use this pistol to kill myself. I can't stand pain. All I want is peace. Peace. It's getting late. I've got to do it quick before they get here. I ran much faster than they did, but they'll get here quick enough. I've got to be dead when they come in through that door. They can't bother the dead in their grave. I'll be dead, dead, deep, deep in the grave. Why should they blame me? I only did my duty. Someone's got to be the hangman. Someone's got... That's what he said to me that night. That's what his lordship said to me 20 years ago, it was. He said...
Samuel Jones, eh?
Yes, your worship.
What makes you think you can do this work?
Oh, I just know, your worship. I know all about hanging, sir. Everything there is to know.
Well...
Hemp rope's best, sir, hemp rope, but each rope's got to be fresh and new for every job, and you've got to keep it soapstoned and always in a cool, dry place.
Well, you do know something about it.
Oh, yes, sir. Then there's a short drop and a long drop. The long drop's better, sir. I know it is.
Eh?
It breaks their neck, sir. Every time it breaks their neck.
All right. I'll give you your chance. We're having a hanging here tomorrow. I'll let you do it. If all goes well, I'll recommend you to the prison board. If all goes well.
All did go well. Why not? And there I was, executioner for His Majesty. 5 guineas, a broken neck. 777 hangings in 20 years. 777 broken necks, and mine the hand that sprung the trap. 777 times. And now the hand's got a pistol in it. When they reach here, when they knock on that door, I'll press the trigger, and so I won't have to face them. None of them. 777 broken necks, and no one knew that I was the man who did it. Not even she knew it. Ellen, my own wife, not even she. I met her, married her, and she didn't know. Until that day. Infernal day, that meddling fool nosing around.
It's the truth. I'm telling you, Mrs. Jones. It's God's bit judge.
Oh, no, no. There must be some mistake.
No mistake at all, Mrs. Jones. No mistake at all. My husband told me. And he never makes mistakes. Not me husband.
What did you say?
State executioner. You know your husband's the... Or don't you know?
Please, I don't know what you're talking about.
Look here, look here. Don't you know what your husband does?
You mean the business he's in?
Business? Aye, hanging's a business.
Hanging?
Hanging. On a rope.
But what has Samuel to do with those?
Mrs. Jones, are you saying you don't know that Samuel's the hangsman?
You must be crazy.
Oh, so I'm crazy, am I? Well, he's the hangsman, and no mistake about
it. He's not.
And I think
he's not. He's not. Get out of here. Get out. Get out.
Well, now, you don't have to be... Well, here he is. Ask him yourself.
Oh, Sam.
What's going on here? What's the matter? What is it, Ellen?
Oh, Sam, this woman.
What about this woman? What?
All I've done is to tell the God's truth.
Oh, Sam, she says...
Says what? What?
All I said was that you were the hangsman, as you are.
Get out of here.
Now, just a minute.
Get out. Get out.
All right, I'll go. I'll go.
Say one more word about me and I'll kill you. You hear me? I'll kill you. Meddling fools. Meddling fools.
Sam.
You shouldn't have talked to her. Why did you listen?
Sam.
Things like that, it isn't good for me.
Sam, it is true.
Man's got to earn his living.
A living from killing?
You're crazy. I don't kill. I don't condemn them.
You killed them.
I tell you, I'm not the judge. Oh, no, Ellen.
Don't touch me, hangman.
All right, that's what I am, hangman, hangman.
Hangman.
Yes, hangman, hangman. Say it again and again. What do I care? I like being a hangman. You hear me? I like being a hangman.
Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
Here's something more.
No, Sam.
I like killing them.
No.
I like the way they stumble when they walk up the stairs.
No.
I like the cold whiteness of their skins when I put the noose around their necks. I like the way everyone looks at me, watches me, and then the crash of the rope stretches. Sometimes their legs kick in the air, and you hear them heaving for a little air. They can't get past the tightened rope around their neck.
No, Sam. No.
When I was a boy, they strung a man up from a tree just outside of a town. And I watched him and I saw him dance on air. And I said to myself, someday I'll do that too.
No.
Hang them, legal, make them dance on air because it's the law. And now I'm doing what I wanted. Executioner for the crown. And Waylon won't change it a bit. Now, come here to me.
No, stay away from me.
Come here.
No, I won't stay with you. I won't, hangman. I won't stay with you. I'll go away.
I thought she wouldn't leave me, but she did. Ellen left me. I looked all over, couldn't find her. After a while, I didn't care. What's a woman? I had my work. Hanging work. 5 guineas a hanging and gold coin. 5 of them. 5 golden guineas. I like the sound of them. I like the sound of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I bought a strong box and kept them there. Every hanging meant 5 more. Paying me, they were for what I liked to do. It was funny, very funny. Why didn't miss her? No, why should I? I had my work. I got to be good at my work. The courts were good, too. They gave me plenty to do. I tried out different ways. I made a hanging machine with springs and sandbags that jerked the man into the air first and then dropped him through a trap. I tried out different ropes and different running nooses. Oh, I got to be good at it in 20 years, real good. Ticking, ticking, stop ticking. I hear you, blasted clock. I hear you. What are you trying to tell me? I know. There isn't much time left. They'll be here soon. Let them come. I'm ready. Pistol in my hand, I'm ready. After the first knock on the door, I won't be here to hear them. I'll have peace and quiet. Whatever they say to me, I won't hear it because I'll be dead. And why should they say it? What's done is done. 777 of them. It was fun because each died different. 777 different hangings. It was fun, I tell you, fun. Some are moaning. And some went to the gallows a-crying. Best of all, I like the one that went out crazy scared. Screaming, yelling, wailing. Yes. The ones that were crazy scared were the best. I like them fine. And 5 guineas just the same for having fun. 5 guineas. Once I had at the door, I heard a sound. No. I just imagine no one's knocking. If they knock, I press the trigger. They won't get me, not me. 777 at 5 guineas each. Coins that bit into my flesh when I grabbed them tight. Oh, I like the sound. Money, money, yellow money. First, I like the hangings best, and then the money. Then I got to like them both. Watching. Eager around the courtrooms, this trial, that trial. Would they hang him? Would they hang her? Would the judge say guilty? If he did, it meant hanging another 5 guineas. Oh, I watch for business, new business, my business. Hang them up and watch them die. When will they knock on the door? When? Pistol's heavy in my hand. He used a pistol, too, they said. Tom Allen. I read about him in the court announcement one day when I was outside of the courtroom looking for new business. Hanging business.
Thomas Allen, 20-year-old law student, was charged by the city police with having murdered his sweetheart, Lorraine Hamilton, 19-year-old daughter of Arvin Hamilton. Young Allen denied the charge vigorously. He stated that the girl had sent him a letter in which he told of her intentions of committing suicide. But at a late hour, Allen was unable to produce this letter. He was held without bond at the tower in the church.
Yes, that's what it said. That's what it said. He'd murdered her, young girl. The minute I read it, I said to myself, Sam Jones is the next one. I could hear the money clinking in my hand already. And Tom Allen hanging by his neck. What am I thinking about? What am I... Why don't they come and knock on the door and let me get this over with? I need the knocking on the door to give me nerve enough to press the trigger. This waiting, waiting. I waited for Tom Allen, too. I waited for them to say guilty to him so I could put the running noose around his neck. I waited, waited, going every day to the trial. The prosecutor for the Crown said...
Guilty.
The young man's solicitor said...
Not guilty.
The young man said...
I didn't do it, I tell you, I didn't do it. She did it herself. She wrote me a letter saying that she was killing herself. She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter.
Yes, that's what he said. She wrote me a letter saying she was killing herself. But where was the letter? Where was the letter? Nobody knew. Couldn't find it. And day after day, sitting there in the courtroom, I could see the noose coming close and close. A few days more and he'd be dancing on air. Another 5 guineas in my box. Such a pity, such a handsome young man, strong young neck for my rope. I say he didn't have a chance. What good did it do for his solicitor to keep saying...
I tell you, gentlemen, it is circumstantial evidence and circumstantial evidence alone which has been produced. A weird combination of circumstances have conspired to make it appear that the suicide of this unfortunate girl was a murder committed by this equally unfortunate young man. And an equally weird set of circumstances have resulted in the disappearance of this vital letter, which clears Tom Allen of all responsibility for Mistress Hamilton's death. In this letter, the girl clearly stated that she was taking her own life by poison. In spite of the absence of this letter, surely you, as intelligent men, can tell after seeing and hearing Tom Allen's testimony that he is telling the truth, that such a letter did reach him, and that he is innocent of all wrongdoing.
But there was no letter. He didn't have a chance. The prosecutor for the Crown got up. He said...
The letter. The mysterious letter. And where, gentlemen of the jury, is this letter? To what mystical realms has it disappeared? This wondrous communication which so conveniently absolved Tom Allen for the death of that poor girl. Where, I ask again, is this letter? The young man has stated repeatedly that the letter was in his lodging undestroyed. But every inch of that lodging has been carefully examined. And yet the letter has not been found. And why hasn't it been found, gentlemen? I'll tell you. It is because that letter does not exist. Lorraine Hamilton never wrote such a letter. She was murdered. Murdered in a fit of jealous rage by this man who expects you to believe a preposterous story about her letter.
Yes. I sat there and I felt good. Because I saw that young fellow didn't have a chance. My noose was getting closer, closer to his neck. And then the black cap on the judge's head.
For this vicious crime against the order and security of the Crown, you, Thomas Allen, are hereby condemned to be hanged by the neck until dead.
No! No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't. I'm innocent. I didn't do it.
Then I had him. All his yelling, all his screaming wouldn't do any good. I had him. All ready for my noose, guilty. I wanted to go up and thank the judges. Gave me business, hanging business, devil's business. Why don't they hurry up and get here? Wouldn't have to think anymore. Knock on the door, I wouldn't have to think. Finger squeeze the trigger, finished piece. I won't have to think. I wouldn't have to think what happened then, what happened after they said the boy was guilty. They put him in a cell, death cell, the door shut tight. And I stood and watched. They put him in a cell. 5 golden guineas in the cell. A few more weeks and he'd be mine to teach that dancing lesson on thin air. I counted every day until they'd give him to me. I peeked along the corridor watching his cell. The warden of the prison said,
"Well, Sam, it certainly looks as if you're going to have another customer. I suppose you heard about it. The king refused young Allen's last appeal. He hangs in 2 more days. We'll try to make his going as easy as we can. I like the lad. Too bad about that letter, he says the girl wrote him. Well, no use talking about it. We've got to do our duty. Oh, by the way, you're going past the cell? Here. Here's some books of his. His landlady sent him. Thought he might like to read them while he had the time. Take them with you, Sam, and give them to him. It'll be his last time to read.
So I took the books along. Why not? Why not? Reading wouldn't save that neck. I started down the corridors with his books. Down the corridors toward the death cell. Something white fell out of one of his books, and I picked it up. It was a letter, and it read,
"Dear Tom, I told you I was going to kill myself, and now I'm going to do it. By the time you get this, the police ought to be accusing you of murder, since undoubtedly all those people who heard us quarrel the other night will be testifying that you killed me. That's the main reason I'm sending you this letter, so that you will have some proof that the poison they'll find in me was self-administered. Forgive me. I'm just tired of living."
And it was her name signed to it, hers, that girl's. The one they said he'd killed. This was the letter. The letter he'd been yelling about. The letter he wanted to save his neck. But his neck belonged to me already. 5 guineas. I stuck the letter deeper in my pocket and just waited until the night. The warden...
"Well, Sam, it looks as if we're going to have to go through with it. Now, I want everything done properly and no mistake. Going to have a large visitors' gallery. Very distinguished people. Say, and that reminds me, there's been some woman trying to see you all day. Some woman. Don't know who she is, Sam. She says she's got to see you."
"Well, I wasn't seeing any woman, not that night. There was my work to do. See that everything was ready. The rope was ready. Everything perfect for a perfect hanging. It grew later and later. I could hear him in the death cell pleading with the minister.
Help me, sir. You've got to. You've got to get the king. He's got to believe that I didn't kill her. I didn't. Oh, won't anyone believe me? She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter in which she said she killed herself. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter."
"Yes, a letter. The letter was in my pocket, and there it was going to stay until it was all over. He couldn't live. He couldn't live now. I'd waited too long. It had been such a long time since they'd given me a good, strong neck to hang. They couldn't cheat me now. At last, it was the hour. They came for him in his cell." They led him down the corridor. And then they were marching him up the stairs to the gallows. I was waiting. Rope was in my hand. The boy looked up at me. His lips moved. He said,
"I tell you, I didn't do it. The letter. The letter."
Black hood over his head.
"The letter, I didn't kill her. The letter, I tell you, I didn't do it.
The crap." His heart.
"This man is dead."
It was done. This man is dead. 5 golden guineas, the warden said.
"Good work, Sam. Broke his neck."
I went out into the street. I was walking home. I felt real good. 5 golden guineas. A woman came up to me and said...
"Are you Sam Jones?"
"Yes, that's me. What do you want? I haven't got time
You'll have time to listen to me, hangman."
"Who are you?"
"Look at me."
"Ellen."
"Yes, Ellen.
Wife."
"Wife no longer, hangman. Nor mother either."
"Eh?"
"No mother either, and you're the thing that's done it."
"Oh, wait, what?"
"No. I tried to reach you. I tried to tell you. They said you wouldn't see me. What could I do? What could I do? Your hand did it. Yours, hangman, yours."
"What are you talking about, woman? What?"
"Tonight, Tom Allen. My maiden name was Allen. Don't you understand? You hung Tom Allen."
"Well, and so I did. What of it, woman? What of it?"
"Tom Allen, hangman, was your son."
"No."
Your son, you hear me, hangman, your son, you hung your son, you hung your son, your son, you hung your son, your son, your son, you hung your
son. I began to run. Down the street, away from her, running. A man stepped out of the shadows. He stopped me. I couldn't see his face.
"You killed my brother 7 years ago this night, hangman."
I said, no, brother. "Leave me alone, I kept on running. A woman stopped me.
"You killed my brother 7 years ago.
"You hung my father, monster. You hung my father 11 years ago.
No, I said, no, let me go. I kept on running, but they kept after me, yelling, screaming. I kept on running, faster. New voices joined them. I looked back. The street was black with hundreds chasing me, yelling, screaming. I'd hung their sons, fathers, brothers. The street was black with them, I tell you, and every one of them akin to one of the 777 that had felt my rope. Chasing me.
hundreds of them yelling, screaming after my life, wanting my blood, hands outstretched like claws to catch me, tear my flesh and scratch my eyes up, running, running, looking, catch me, no!
That's the way I did it. Slammed the door, lost a pack of them. Every one of them wives and sons and brothers of the 777. But they'll find me. They'll search me out. They're searching now. Yes, they'll find me. That's why my finger's on the pistol. The mob won't get me. No, the mob won't get me. Funny mob they were. Without bodies, just heads of people chasing me and yelling. They won't get me. No, they won't. When they find me here, when they knock on that door, I'll kill myself and... They're here outside the door.
You won't get me. Not you. Yes, I hung your sons, husbands, killed your friends, lovers, but that's not all. I hung my son. You hear me? Hung my son for 5 guineas. Hung my son.
Yes. Come in. Come in, all of you, and see me die.
And you mean to say he yelled out for you to come in and then he shot himself?
Yes, sir. It's the gold's truth. I knocked on the door. He yelled, come in. Come in, all of you, and see me die. And when I opened the door, bang, he did it.
And what were you banging on his door for this early in the morning? What were you after?
After nothing. I was looking for McDonald. Lives next house. I just knocked on the wrong door.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 17, 1943 on CBS. And so ends this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.